Okay, so Father Ezekiel had an experience with the Lord this morning, and most of the day it was an ecstasy that God had put him in, and then he had a very long dream.
The beginning of the dream seemed like we were in Smith's parking lot. Some of the local people and a few people in habits like ours that were new members of the community. We haven't met them yet. And very much like people from like Burmese,
oh, wow.
Burma, they had that oriental look to their face, but really tanned from the sun. And they were wearing these, you know, saffron colors, almost like Buddhists would wear, you know, saffron and rust color. And we walked in to the store. Two things happened. First of all, the big wigs for the store got called in because we were there, but they mistakenly walked in and went too far into the store. We were up at the front, so they walked past us. I mean, we weren't even there, you know? And then they called the police, and then they called the church, the official Catholic Church people. Me and some other brothers and sisters that we haven't met yet, they're new candidates to come. And as we walked in and all this hubbub was going on, one of us was holding a tall, like a tree limb looking like a staff with a monstrance on top, you know, but it was old and wooden carved, very, very rustic, you know, of the people. And we walked down one aisle, came around another, and demons were manifesting, by the way, here and there along. They were coming out of the walls of the store and off the shelves and out of people. But there was a group of just, you know, country people that were just walking around beside us. They kept calling relatives and friends and telling them to come, you know, something holy was going on. And as we moved toward the front of the store, the monstrance, the Blessed Sacrament, his body, it just appeared. It just kind of formed inside the glass, right?
Oh, so you were carrying a monstrance with no hopes.
Right.
Wow.
And we got around, coming around, and a host began to form in the monstrance, his body. And the people were very, very devoted people, and, you know, poor people in other countries are. And they were kneeling and bowing, and at the same time, you got these, I mean, they even called in Catholic priests and bishops, one or two bishops, trying to tell the people that, you know, not to follow us, that this was not of God, whatever. And guess who rounds the corner but Padre Pio? And Padre Pio walked around, he put his arm in front of me, and he said, "You leave these people alone. They're from God. This is from God." And immediately he fell on his knees and started worshiping the Lord. And there were celestial, heavenly manifestations going on around us. So that group began to kind of grow and drown the demons out, push them back. The police were trying to figure out whether or not to write us, you know, tickets or what, but they had to check with the courthouse. It was a snafu, like if they didn't want to falsely arrest us. And the church, who's who of the Catholic Church, you know, they were dressed in all their black and finery and everything. And, you know, they were taking pics and jabs, but the people just kept coming, and it just grew and grew and grew. At one point, Padre Pio came in, and he put his arms under my arms, couldn't stand. He was holding me up, and my stigmata began to appear along with his. And both he and I were bleeding profusely from our hands, crown of thorns, our feet, the wound in our side. And it was like heaven just invaded that place. And people were building little shrines and little altars. And I mean, they were bringing flowers and wreaths and all that they could do and be for the king.
Best grocery store.
Well, it transformed into quite something else. Really, heaven just took this place over. And forget the grocery store, any of that. Those guys were the purity and the power and the light of all heaven just invaded the place and spread out and pushed all the darkness back, pushed all the who's who Catholic hierarchy guys and the store security guys had come in from like Albuquerque and they were head security for the grocery chain and they were completely lost. I mean, they were just befuddled. So between the police and the Catholic Church guys and the official guys from the grocery chain, and Albuquerque's like 3 hours away from me, they kind of converged, but then they kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Just like from the holiness, from the manifestations of heaven, you know, the fragrances and the colors and the senses, the things that perceptions you would perceive were on a heavenly level. And at one point, Padre Pio went up to, we had planted, there were a lot of seminarians around us, and they were ours. They were our seminarians and candidates for the priesthood, as well as several sisters. Everyone was weeping, and there was such a deep reverence, profound joy and reverence and happiness. I mean, I would like to say it was as if Jesus himself had come in the flesh, but he did. And at that point, it just went like waves of heavenly graces and glory, and I don't know how to explain it, but just would wash over all of us.
Wow.
In waves after wave after wave. We didn't know if we were in heaven or on earth, and we didn't care. We were all drawn to the host, the bread that had become his body. That's my point.
Did they see the transformation?
Yes. Everyone saw it. They saw him just, you know.
The monstrance was empty.
Yes. And I was walking with that until a host began to appear. The communion, the large wafer that's consecrated. So it's his body in the monstrance. It wasn't gilded with gold or anything. Everything was very pure, very deep, very clean, untouched. I mean, unfettered. And the Lord himself seemed to be moved. It's like the whole staff animated to where it kept moving and bending toward the children, especially the little children and the little grandmas and the ladies, their saffron robes and the rust colored, you know, the Buddhist kind of robes and clothing became white. You know, everyone was dressed in white, and except for Padre Pio and I and a couple of our brothers and sisters, we were still wearing our brown habits. And I fell asleep about the time the girls got here this morning, which was what, like 11 o'clock? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Until I woke up exactly at 3 o'clock. I came back to myself. And 3 o'clock is the hour of mercy when the Lord died for us on the cross. That was it. So, holy, holy, so many connections. And there was nothing superstitious or any of that. There wasn't even a tinge of that. It was simply holy. We were all caught up in the purity and the depth of the, I mean, it was so thick, so thick you could just cut it with a knife. It just pervaded the air and everything around it and everything around us. For 4 hours, I was in complete ecstasy, caught away in really, truly what was more than a dream. I mean, it was so real. It took me a while to even realize that I was back and here in my bed in this universe, on this earth. I mean, wow. So last night we got some scriptures on success. And then there was a vision of college graduation, caps, like cap and gown.
Right.
And all down this celebration table, like lunchroom tables end to end, with the graduation hats on the plates in the dinnerware. And I was given to understand that we were graduating. I mean, we'd finished at least this part of our course. We were graduating, and the Lord was graduating us into a higher level. There was another situation apart from the dream. This was last night, when I began to see snakes at different times. But as soon as I'd see the snakes, this big foot would come down and just crush these huge anacondas. I mean, this person was that big. And as I looked up, I could see they were dressed in Roman battle armor with a spear in the left hand. It was just one angel. And a sword in the right, it was St. Michael, Michael the Archangel. And as these things began to come up to, I mean, he was all over the place from one step and he was in Arizona. You know, they'd come out of the rocks here, he'd step on them. They'd come out of the rocks or around, coming up and down steps. Even in like places like New York, they were coming out of the rocks and crags,
mm-hmm.
One here, one there, never groups, but they were all like constrictors, like boa constrictors, anacondas, those kind of giant snakes, you know, come down some rainy steps or something. He was on it. And I have to say, it was as if, like when he stood up and this spear in his left hand, along with the spear was his shield. He was standing over.
Unfortunately, I missed part of this. Somehow it got cut off. But what he was saying is that when St. Michael stood one foot in New York and another foot on the West Coast, it was as though he were guarding the entire country, like a patron saint of America. And I would venture to say it's probably because there's so many Jewish people here, Hebrew people here. I know that my mother hid our identity from me, that we were Hebrews from the tribe of Judah, but she never disclosed that to me. I only found out after her passing. So even the Hebrew people with different names, not like Levi, but other names that are more obscure. Cryptic Jews who settled here in America, especially in Chicago and New York, and I was born in Chicago, and my ancestry goes back to Prague, where many cryptic Jews took refuge when they were scattered. The Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers. Please press in to the relationship with God the Father, and more is yet to come. I've got about 4 messages from the Lord I haven't recorded yet, and I'm going to try and get them recorded quickly so I don't keep you waiting. Thank you so much, dear ones, for caring about us and help us covering the cost of firewood for the poor. You have such tender hearts. We really appreciate it. And I know a reward awaits you in heaven. God bless you.